yourself, and I believe you have a
Sheriff Bell.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Mayor. Good evening. I'm Commander Tim Allen from the high school NJROTC. I've been in Lapine about 8 months, and I'm excited to be heading up that program. Tonight I'm going to brief you about a project that our cadets came up with the idea to do. The park over here, right next to McDonald's and Best Western, little sliver of land, that triangle-shaped, heavily wooded area. Last spring, we were doing community cleanup, and that was our assigned section. And we did lots of garbage removal, and one of our cadets came up with a great idea. Hey, why don't we adopt this park, take it further, because it needs a lot more work than we could do today, and take it on as our project. And oh, by the way, the Navy that, you know, I feed the computer systems, we track all the hours of the cadets in their community service. So this would provide us a homegrown, easy outlet to get the kids working and help bolster our community service numbers that the Navy tracks. So I'll hand one of these out to everybody. This is my plan of action and milestones. Okay, there we go, that way. I had 10 copies, but I've also got it up on the board. So what I've got on this paper is the background, which I just gave you, what we've done so far. We did take the kids out there 3 weeks ago, roughly, on a Saturday, and limbed up a bunch of trees, took out a bunch of bitter brush, marked some trees that we hope to remove because it's very thick in there, and we decided that it needed to be opened up. So before we go any further with our ideas for what the park needs, we needed to do a few things in preparation. One, namely, is do a locate service so that we know where all the utilities are in the ground, pipes, wires, whatever, so we don't want to mess anything up, because we do need to remove trees. We don't want to do that before we know where the utility lines are. So what we've got lined up here under resources, very simply, I've got the bodies, 60 plus able-bodied youngsters, ready to work. Labor is free. Materials is where we run into looking for donations and funding. What we would like to do at this park, the big project that requires some community involvement and donations and things, is we'd like to make a section of it for Veterans Memorial. Currently the park is named No Name Park, and I believe it's owned by the BLM. We, the Cadet Corps, would like to propose the name Veterans Park and make a Veterans Memorial on the McDonald's end of the park, which comes to a point. It's the point of the triangle, and right along adjacent to Highway 97. So the overarching goal of this project is to take a piece of property that's been essentially neglected. Let's put the ugly baby on the table. It's been neglected, and it's in the center of our town, and we'd like to beautify it. And we'd like our cadets to do that for you. So the stakeholders, 1 through 8 there, City of Lapine, the Chamber of Commerce, Vet Groups, ODOT, BLM, ROTC, the Deschutes County. Recently I made an application for a grant to Deschutes County, asking them for $600. I've opened up an account at Lapine in the name of the ROTC. An account at Ace Hardware in the name of ROTC, so we can buy materials from Ace with whatever money comes in. And we hold whatever money comes in at the high school in the cadets account. When the bills come, I pay that way. If you could scroll up, please, to equipment sources. Peak Performance has been very generous and said whatever they have, we can use for this project. Right off the top of my head, they have a tree pulling machine, they have chippers, they have tractors, trailers, things like that, chainsaws if we need them. Just so happens the cadet that came up with this idea, her dad owns Peak Performance. Kind of a small town connection I'm thinking there. Okay, so City of Lapine hand tools, rake, private citizens, I'll donate my tractor, trailer, and tools that I have, drills and whatnot. Information sources, we've pulled the string with Deschutes County. We're going to get a GIS map of the plot, and also with the city, who was that guy, the gentleman you sent me the email, his name. He has the map with all the...
I had suggested that you talk to our Public Works.
Public Works.
Scott. He actually has a map that lays out the phone line, lays out all of that. And I suggested to Commander that he talk to him about it.
That's a great idea. And I'll do that, and we'll get the plot. The actual locate service has already been requested and will be actually completed tomorrow at 3. They will paint the ground and tell me where all the stuff is.
Commander, if it's owned by BLM, and we got their approval? Because that's a government.
We are in the process. I will say I have not gotten final approval. We're in the process of reaching out to them via the mayor's office. So we're, but however, in there is a verbal or perhaps written agreement with the city that keep it beautiful is what the city is allowed.
I was gonna say, we're not going to get in trouble.
No.
I mean, you guys.
No, there's already entry level agreement. Let's put it that way.
Cool. Okay. Thank you.
To keep it beautiful.
Thank you.
So we're operating on that premise at this point.
And let me clarify that that's actually with the chamber. There is an agreement in place with BLM and the chamber.
Okay.
That they can be done with it, whatever it takes to keep it beautiful, with the city.
Oh, okay.
Pardon me, I misspoke on that. Okay, timeline. Pretty aggressive, I think. We'd like to have a ribbon cutting ceremony in the end of May. We've got a lot of work to do, and we would like to put the kids right to work as soon as a few barriers are broken down and we can move ahead. So what I've got here are phases. Scroll up just a touch, please. Phase one is pretty easy. Refurbished picnic tables. There's 3 of them there currently. The bases are nice and solid. We don't need to touch those, but the 2x6s on top and the bench 2x6s are dilapidated, in need of repair. So I figure 2x6s for 3 tables, stain, varnish, box of screws, we can do that for $150, $200. Buy the materials from Ace, we can have the kids out there in a week, have it done. Phase 2, thin the forest. Once the locate is done, then we can safely pull trees. Finish the, you know, the limbs that are on the ground now that we did 3 weeks ago, we can chip those up, save the mulch. We'll need that later for the walking paths. Build log archways is phase 3. We'll take the trees that we pulled out, strip the bark off, sand them, stain varnish, and save them because we want to have nice, impressive log archways at 3 different points in the park for entry. One at the north end, going into the memorial. One at the south end, where we propose a parking lot, and one at the coming in from the parking lot in between Subway and Best Western. Phase 4, new parking lot. I'll admit this is out of my realm of scope of possibility. I'm going to need some help on that. ODOT BLM City, I'm not sure who, but I propose on the south end of the park, right behind Hunan and Joe's Barbershop, that business complex, right behind that building, build a parking lot so we can enter from Highway 97, 15, 20 spaces. All it needs really is pavement, I think. Pavement and painted lines. And perhaps the entryway from 97 should be widened out a little bit. Perhaps some trees on the south end of the park should be removed so there's clear visibility. Shouldn't be that hard, I don't think. Final phase, build the memorial. I hope we can start in February if the weather permits. Grade the land, mark it out with stakes and paint, pour concrete, brick, block, pavers. I have an artist rendition I'll show you of what we envision for the memorial section. As soon as we get done with this, I'll pull that up. We envision a flagpole, engraved markers with veterans' names on them. I'm going to ask all the Central Oregon Vet groups, American Legion, VFW, Band of Brothers, Central Oregon Vets, for their support to provide me the names of fallen veterans that are from Central Oregon to be engraved on the markers. And I would really like a nice touch, an eternal flame somewhere in the memorial section. I think that adds a lot of class to our, because the stoplight's going in right there at that intersection of 97 and 1st, right? So as the northbound traffic backs up a little at that stoplight, there right to the right is going to be the park. So we want that to be a place where people are drawn to not only the memorial, but I propose if there's a local artist or sculptor that can put some impressive eye-catching art there, sculptures, whatever, that'd be a great place to do it. So I think there's a spin-off, an enhancement to business right there at that corner with a place that draws people in and so they can sit and relax and enjoy this memorial. Okay, so let's pull up the artist rendition of what we had in mind. If you could expand that, please. Highway 97, obviously, going north-south. The blue rectangles would be the markers with the engraved names. Flagpole, eternal flame, benches around, nicely manicured. And I would like to put a small amount of artificial grass that you don't have to maintain for some visual pizzazz around the memorial. And that wouldn't be the black archway, replace that with log archway. Next one, please. Just an example of what markers could look like. Doesn't have to be exactly like this, but I wanted to give you kind of an idea. Next one. And flagpole markers come in various shapes and sizes. I was particularly drawn to this because it had the five services, and I like the caption, Land of the Free, because of the brave. But if there's other ideas or whatever, if there's budget constraints, we can't go this route. There is some flexibility in all of this. I just wanted to give you a visual. So, I guess the purpose of tonight would be not only to identify the project to you, but could we ask for, say, $200 to get started with the ace to buy the lumber and the screws and the stain to get hot on the picnic table project? So, okay. There we are.
Any questions?
Do we have the money to do that? It's a lovely project.
Yeah. We can find the $200. My questions are considerably deeper than that. The $200 would be, unfortunately, way down the list. So you could address the $200, but who's going to own this?
I don't think there's going to be a change of ownership. I think
so the chamber.
The BLM currently.
No, that's who owns the land.
Right.
But the improvements in the park you're building, the picture you show with an eternal flame and a flagpole and all of that, who is going to own that? Someone has to insure this. Someone has to do that. That list is long. So I just need to know, who do you envision in this? Who's going to own this?
I envision the ROTC cadets maintaining it. I don't have a proposal on ownership.
Okay, so that will have to be worked on. Someone has to apply for, I mean, you could pick this if you could for a second, not worry about that location. If we're going to go establish a new park, an acre park somewhere, it's going to have a site plan. You talk about parking. Besides the fact of raising the money, it's access, it's drainage. When you build a parking lot, it displaces water. So under the code, you have to know where the water is going. You would have to get an easement from Gordy at that particular place because that property is surrounded by private property. With Highway 97 is the only public property to the west, but that also is striped where you can't park or stop. So there is no legal method to enter the triangle except from Highway 97 without an agreement from the motel. You've talked about entrance over by motel and subway. You have to drive across their private parking lots to get there, which means you would have to have an agreement that they allowed that to happen.
Doesn't it happen already now?
Well, but they're customers of their businesses. I mean,
no.
You know,
or
well,
trespassing.
Or they're trespassing. Yeah. I mean, you know, we can't. So I mean, when you look at what it is now, it's just there.
Is it not a park now?
Well,
it just seems like it's a park now. It'll be a park later. Right?
But we would have to get you. That's why if you're doing it, it's fine. If that's why the ownership, I guess, comes back to if you, the Lapine High School, wants to go talk to owners and get agreements and sign them in the school or whoever, but for the city. We have no jurisdiction to go across to sign people to enter the place crossing through the motel parking lot. We can't do that. There's a power bill. Someone has to sign up for the power. The ROTC maybe is going to try to raise money every year to pay for the power, but if you're going to have a light, just like we did with the lights on Huntington, the Ford Foundation funded it, raised some money, but ultimately the city pays the power bill. They're in the city's name. They've given us some money, and at some point that money runs out, the city's going to pick it up. So I could go on and on. There's quite a list of things. The agreement with, from my understanding, I have not seen the agreement from with the chamber, was done in the 90s. If you think of the maybe it's been done since then.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to sit down with the BLM and go over it all, and I've not seen an agreement myself.
Is it fair to say that the chamber owns it now, and we're doing a favor for the chamber type of thing?
I think, Commander, what you're talking about is the chamber at a point in time wrote an agreement with the BLM.
Yep.
To maintain that park.
Right.
Okay. And they have indicated that they don't want to do that anymore, and the agreement is still laying out there, and they're not following the agreement. Okay, basically is what that.
Can you give me a copy of that agreement?
I
have you seen it?
I've seen it. Okay. It's been a while, but I've seen it. And,
okay. I think I should probably see that as well.
Sure.
So, you've got a few months of planning, to be honest.
Okay.
I mean, that really has to be done. And there is going to have to be an owner. And if it's ROTC is an entity or something, that's fine. But if the city, I mean, just lay it all out here, if it's going to become a city park, then that changes and complicates this whole thing. How we have to do things. We would have to have legal counsel work in agreement with the BLM, that you know what you can do there, what you can't do. We'd have to work through accesses, all of those things. Probably be a year of, with the BLM. I mean, we don't have.
They're not even in the office.
Yeah, we don't have title to the land transfer property yet, and so we're, you know, it would be a deal. And then the city would have to commit to paying for some of this, because you may come in and weed it and do some of those things and pruning it, but someone's got to pay for the power. Then you're going to get into restrooms, because now you've brought people there into kind of a formal, more of a comprehensive park. Right now it just kind of is there. It isn't used very much. There's no garbage. But once you do, which is a great proposal, you're trying to make it into a veterans park, increase the use, then you're going to move toward a restroom, garbage cans. Who pays to dump the garbage? Who cleans the restroom? Do you rent outhouses? So all of those things, then that could be, that all has to be thought out. We just did a renaming in town, and people got excited about the renaming and then forgot about some of the other things. And I think it's important that we don't go down that path. So the idea is presented, but there's probably a whole long list of things that the council, if in fact this is going to become a city park. If it isn't, then we don't have much role in it, if it's going to be someone else's. But I think you're going to have to figure that out.
And I would say that there's not ever been any part of the discussion or talk that I've had with the ROTC, the JROTC, or Commissioner Bone has had with them, that would lead anybody to think the council has had anything to do with this, or the city's going to be owner involved, other than me helping with them identify resources, etc.
Yeah, I don't think there's been any talk about a change of ownership. It was more on the level of care of the property. So I guess I've been operating under the premise that whoever owns it now keeps owning it. And I, you know, Ms. Gaywith at the chamber said, wow, you know, I couldn't figure out how to, you know, maintain this, and not that she wanted to, so she was so thrilled that the ROTC was going to take that on as a project. So, yeah, the ownership, I don't think there was any intention of having the city of Lapine take ownership of it. So I hope that eases the planning burden. I don't know.
I would, you know, sir, as an instructor at the school, if I was you, if we're not the owner, someone's going to need to be the owner, and you're going to have to sit down with the chamber and lay over the plans, and then they're going to ask you the same questions, because they aren't going to want to pick up any of those risks or costs. And if they haven't worked on it for years themselves, that shows you their current level of interest.
Yeah, there are garbage cans there now that I wondered who was responsible for emptying them.
Yeah, they're there. They're, the one day I was out there, they were full.
Yeah, they've chronically been full, so I guess nobody's emptying them. But that's kind of an indicator.
Maybe the
hotel
goes over there, I don't know.
I think the only cleaning or any effort that's been put into that was on city cleanup day. The first year we sent a crew over there, and the fire chief took on that job and cleaned it up as best we could. The trees were so thick at that point in time, we had transients in there with their tents and stuff, and the fire chief chose to deal with that aggressively. To get past that, we actually took a bunch of trees down, and ODOT came in and took a bunch of stuff down and hauled a bunch of stuff that was supporting that type of climate out.
It's probably safe to say that the people didn't really know it's a park, so consequently it hasn't been used. But when you do what you're talking, then that's a whole different, you know. So in other words, the garbage cans maybe were only dumped once a year because no one really knew it was there. You had some transient hanging out. The people looking for a park bench from Subway and McDonald's weren't using it. But you go throw this down at the McDonald's end of that triangle on a nice days, and they come out of there with their lunch. They're going to come over there and sit down and eat.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, with the internal flame, if that's there, which is another bill, that's a gas bill 24/7. Then, you know, if I'm 16 years old and I got an eternal flame and I'm done with my McDonald's sack, you know, you can see what I may want to do with my McDonald's wrapper. You know, if you think about all this, this is the reality. So, and then you're in the middle of a brush area. So people got a lot of things to think through, whether it's the chamber, the community as a whole. And it's kind of dangerous to go out and start asking for a bunch of money. If all of these, and I hate to be the one saying all this, but if these things haven't been thought out and actually answered, we're not really doing anyone a service, and we're certainly not doing the veterans a service by putting something out there that's going to fail. So I think that folks need to rethink, whoever is going to take this on needs to think through it. So that's my, unfortunately.
I think, thank you, Rick, that was all well done, and you know, these are types of, this is types of information that will help them as they move along, or as they take a look at how they're going to really make this happen. I think they came up with a pretty decent you know, plan to start with. I don't think we can say it's not a good idea. I think it does say a lot to the fact that it's been a part. And I think Kitty's here and could speak to how that got started with her mother, because I was out there working 10 or 12, 13 years ago when those picnic tables got put in and the all of the turning it into a park took place. So I think it's a great idea. I think it's some of the aspects of what he has said and the commander said in the way of, you know, you have traffic pull up there and here's what they see. I think when we start really paying attention to our city and the, you know, the facelift it needs, and as counselors we know that we saw a comment from citizens about the whole corridor through town and how ugly it was, and something needed to be done. I think these ideas of doing something are terrific. We ought to provide information like this. I think we ought to be willing to offer advice and help. And I'll just confirm that in the use of the Public Works Department, I checked with the city manager and asked him, could I borrow the Public Works Director for some information and some assistance. So I think as we move forward in the next few years, we need to be thinking about these kinds of things, because tourism is a major effort or a major thing for this city, and all those pieces about facelift, streetscape, what people perceive are important for us to consider first, almost before anything else. And I like this. I like the idea of it, and I like the challenge that cadets have taken on. There's a great deal of effort. And I specifically told the commander that I thought May was ambitious. So, anyway, Kathy?
Looking at the whole plan, it seems wonderful. I think it would be good. I guess what I'm thinking at this point, that there needs to be a little more research on it for the entire comp of it all. I guess basically what I come back to is it has been designated as a park. It is supposed to be maintained. He has identified that the
tables need to be redone, probably completely on that, at least for the wood. And if I separate that point, I think, this is just me, I appreciate the ROTC. I appreciate what these young people can learn, the skills, the dedication, the working as a team, everything that goes into that project. So for me personally, if we had $200 to help with just the basic, even basic issues in that park that they could get started on and to then further research it, I think that's great. You know, it is a lot to look at, and I know how hard it's been for us to just get small projects done. But to look at it as basic, you can get started with what you can right now and do, I would be in favor of it. I think it's, you know.
So I think I hear you saying, let's start on some things that are very simple, that don't require complex planning or permissions or changes of ownership, complex thing. Let's just do some simple things that are free of all that.
Yeah.
While I do all the research behind the scenes, you know, get the kids started on some easy stuff.
Right.
And then if I can break down some barriers, we can do some harder stuff.
Right.
I was just looking and it looks to me like the first three phases, you know, like of the simple things that we're talking about, and you know, if they just were to go through those three things, I don't think there's any dealing with new parking lots or any of the insurance costs and bills. And it gives them, you know, if they only go to step three, gives them till January 15th, and that's a couple months to do research. And hopefully by then, you know, ideally they could get all the information, whatever they needed to accomplish. But like, I think redoing tables is pretty simple, not any insurance risks. Same, I think, through all of phase three. Looks like to me, I'm not, you know, an insurance master or anything, but I like what Kathy said, if you could just get started on the simpler things, seems better. Something's better than nothing.
Stu?
Oh, I'm sitting here, I'm almost ashamed. I mean, this is a beautiful project, and I think you put your heart and soul into it. I know you did. I know the cadets did. I just wish that you would have been directed straight to the city manager and could have started this research and kind of avoided putting this council in an awkward position to have to say, you can't do it right now. Because I would just love to be sitting here saying, let's go to work. But as the manager pointed out, there are a lot of obstacles to overcome.
For the entire project.
For the entire project, yes. Because it was brought up at one point that the city take over this park as Heritage Park now. But the liability for the city to take that over then was quite a bit, and it probably hasn't changed anymore now. So I just wish that this would have been handled a little bit different, and it's not your fault.
That's okay, Stu. I got broad shoulders. I did.
Well, but
I served in the Pentagon. I know.
It's just, you know, beautiful projects, and I'm just as guilty as some of the others. I just go straight ahead. But I think Rick could have probably helped you out a lot on this, and he will, you know, I'm sure, help you. Especially at the council's direction, he'll help you out.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know. I don't even know what the liability is about the tables. I mean, if it's city money going to, I mean, that's a big, that's a legal question. You know, for, I don't know.
Normally the community would have a whole process to pick park locations. I mean, to say it's a park, well, we just got done hearing that it was brushed over so bad and it had homeless people in it and nobody's dumped the garbage in years. Nobody really goes there. Be careful calling it a park. The park district never took it in. The city never took it in. Back when the motel agreed, back in the 90s, when the motel agreed, went down and asked some people, they let them, yeah, go ahead if you want to put some tables and some chips down, but no structures to speak of, and no improvements. You know, go ahead. Well, that group went away, and now if it somehow got from that group to the chamber, so it's already had an ownership change, because some youth group was going to work on it, from what I read. Then again, that youth group's long gone. So then it somehow ended up over at the chamber. So the chamber then said, yeah, we'll do it. Probably sat around like this, and everyone, it's tough to say the things I'm saying. And somebody, they probably sat around and said, yeah, let's us take it on. Well, now we look, they haven't done a thing to it.
Well, there's change in, I don't mean to interrupt, but there's change in administration at the chamber.
Administrations are going to change at the city and everywhere else. Yeah. But, yeah. So there's not the broader commitment to it being something. Mm-hmm. You know, just four or five people sat around and probably sent a letter to the BLM and, you know, this thing goes. And so I think my caution is be careful here. With its location and limited access, all through private land, is that where you put a memorial park? I mean, you could go down next to the beautiful fountain they're building that already has power, already has water. It's in the heart of your downtown. Take the concrete little things that got the names, the marble, which I've seen some of those types of things. Put a circle around the fountain you just built. Back 10 feet, you know, whatever. And you put some other things. You go maybe to Freedom Flat, whatever. Is the one you've been talking
Heritage.
About. Heritage. You already have a flagpole. You've talked to me about let's go ahead and sidewalk around it. You've mentioned us taking that. Well, maybe the city says, we'll take that triangle. We'll fix up the sidewalks around it. We'll assume ownership of that. It's already there. You already have public accesses, you know, and the infrastructure is there. And it's a place where you maybe have a Memorial Day something where people stand there and you read some names and do some things. You've got a flagpole. I don't know that going across Highway 97 is that where you would put it if you had a broader discussion with the community. So usually this stuff's vetted beyond just a few people sitting down with an idea. And it's okay to have that idea, but it's got to broaden out so that it has long-term sustainability. Like I said, it's almost a disservice to the veterans if you don't do that. Because you want this thing maintained, you want it nice. And so to go put a bunch of money, or even the limited money, into redoing picnic tables, if in fact you don't want people there, because if you're going to start making it where it's noticeable now, Conrad, and you're going to varnish up tables, use will go up. Where else would I do it? If use goes up, you got to put garbage cans in. So who's putting in garbage cans? Who's dumping garbage cans? I'm saying it's all of that, even if you don't go past step three. And how do you legally go park there to go to it? Because right now, you cannot park on Highway 97. You cannot legally trespass in there. And so, you know, I mean, you just got to be careful.
I don't know
Karen,
what to say. I have to agree with all of you. It's sad that the tables are already there and it already was established a little tiny park. It's had a lot of people that have worked in it, including the Garden Club, which I happened to be a part of at one time, and we pulled weeds there. I don't think as a city that we can take it on without it being legal. No. That being said, I feel bad we can't buy some wood, but at the same time, we have to keep in mind that we have to look at liability. And Stu's right. So that's where I stand.
Rick? Just agreeing with what everyone said, I think it's a wonderful idea. But I'd like, you heard from the city manager, go out, get all the first steps done, come back, present it. I don't know how much the city could actually help financially, but I'm sure there are a lot of organizations in Central Oregon and around the area that would, you know, help fund something like this.
Sure.
Provided all the groundwork is done first.
Okay, so clarity for my sake, what is step one, city manager?
Well, you know, probably we don't need to take up this meeting with that. You and I could meet.
Okay.
You know,
I can meet offline.
Yeah, you and I could get together or wherever you want, but and just kind of lay out. But I think really ownership is really key. Is who's going to sign off on all this? You know, and when you get into these bigger grant funding, because you're talking a parking lot, 20 parking spots is about what we have. You know, that's thousands of dollars. Not 5 or 10. I mean, it's thousands. You really have got a $50,000 or $100,000 project here if you follow your plan. So that's pretty significant money. When you go to these groups to get $5,000 or $10,000, they want to know who's going to own it. I mean, who's going to maintain it? Who's going to own it? And if you can't answer that, and we've heard here, it's not the city at this point. No one has said it's the city. So, and you're going to have to, I think, start with the chamber, see what's their interest level, because if they say no, then you got to kind of go find this jurisdiction that's going to take this on, and so on. So those would be the first steps.
Okay.
I think it's a great place for a veterans park. There's a lot been pointed out here that needs to be looked at, needs to be delved into. And I'll just say in an answer, I never brought it. My connection to this never felt comfortable bringing it to the city manager. That's involving the city, and that was never my intent. They took off wanting to do this, and I think it is a great project for them. I believe that, just like Kathy has said, this offers a group of fine young people, youth in our community, that we say we support our youth, that want to just go headlong into doing something. Granted, like we're talking about here, down to element phase number 3, I think that's some simple cleanup and doing a few things that will make the whole area down there look better. And I really think that we could talk about the city hasn't done anything about it, and the people that took it on didn't do anything about it. But that was the nature of Lapine in those past years. Things got done and then they sort of fell off. We can look up and down Highway 97 and see the ups and downs of the care that business owners and property owners have up and down through our community, and that's just one of them. And I think here's an organization that is a responsible organization. The tables are going to have to be done anyway, and I'm not sure that we can hang our hat on a thing called liability because the city gives them $200 to buy some lumber and some varnish and some stuff. But I think it's example of a youth group in this community that wants to do something. And I would encourage the council to support it from that standpoint. You know, I mean, we say we support our youth, and we can do that without the city taking on a financial or a legal responsibility. So, Kitty, I'll get to you in just a minute.
Thank you.
You got two over here, too.
Okay. Anyway, Stu, you... No. Okay?
I just wanted... Or should I stand
your
up?
Name.
My name is Austin Gillette. I live in the Lapine urban area, way out there.
You're at the corner.
I'm at the corner of the 4 mile marker for birds. And this sounds to me, and it's not critical, but it's typical of what happened, like at the school, the rec center now, the white school building, whatever. People got in there and they played around with the wiring of the panels and did lots of things. The baseball field, a lot of things that have done. People have taken on burdens, and unfortunately, some in many cases, they've walked away, thrown up their hands, and left things, and at the very least, in limbo, if not totally unusable when they get done with it. But something does need to get done in an organized way. Find out who owns it and go accordingly. There was a fellow that's opposite the the Joel's Harvest, whatever.
Oh, Harvest Depot.
Harvest Depot. Right. There's a guy there that's building across, does insurance, and he's had his fingers in a lot of the city stuff.
Oh, Rex.
Yeah. And might talk to him about some of the liabilities involved, and he could probably fill you in with.
You know, liability is just don't overplay the liability. It's key, but it's just one of many issues.
Yeah. But the big thing is things need to get done. I laud everybody, especially the ROTC person there on the mark. Good luck.
Thank you. So let me. There was Tom.
First of all, I'd like to say I'm a naval veteran, so I support the idea, but at the same time, I would say that I would caution the city on spending any money until you absolutely find out the legal, whether somebody could, some attorney that was really aggressive, would want to use that as a paper trail to go after you because you expended some money.
Thank you, Tom. Kitty?
Kitty Shields, 51540 Shields Drive. First of all, I'd like to say I like the idea. I appreciate your cadet's vision and motivation and such. But it seems to me like there's been an awful, correct me if I'm wrong, seems like there's been an awful lot of discussion on what seems like a wonderful plan without anyone checking to see if this is the type of use that BLM would like to see of this property today. It wouldn't have, I know it wouldn't have flown some 15 years ago when this park was first established. And here's how I know that. They weren't at all happy about the concrete slabs being put down for the picnic tables. And at first they wanted those taken out, but then they said no, okay. They were very upset at Gordon Wanick removing trees at the north side of his building and bringing in gravel so that people could pull in and park there. And that's why those big boulders were put there. Somehow Simon seems to be able to go around there and park anyway. But the thinking from Wanick was that people could drive around the buildings, around the north side and everything. BLM did not go for that and said, no, block it off. Correct me if I'm wrong, Kent, but I don't think this was ever meant to be a vehicle approachable park and a park with parking. It was supposed to be a walk-in park. Originally, I thought that the Class Corporation had an agreement with BLM. Did that, that there never was an agreement with the chamber? The chamber?
According to Dan Barco, he signed the agreement with BLM.
Okay.
When he was director of the of the chamber.
Okay, so that may have changed. I know that the Class Corporation did have an agreement with them because it started with them, with the original owners of the motel. They were upset because of transients being there and all the garbage and everything. And so there was this agreement set up to maintain the park, but to maintain it in its natural state and to not put any unnatural improvements on it and such. So a first step, I think, would be to check with BLM and see if the thinking has changed on that, if they would allow something different.
Sure.
And I think we all know where BLM is today. That was, I'm sure, part of his concern or his thoughts about getting in touch with them anyway. I know it was with Dan Barcos and
I'm speaking as a citizen, Gloria Fleming, 50662 Deer Forest Drive. I just wanted to tell you, I think what you have already done there is wonderful. And I wondered who had done it because it's such an improvement over what was there. And I do think it is something that we see when we first drive into town. And it does need to be maintained somehow or another. But what you've done, and you can tell your ROTC kids that, you know, they have done a great job so far.
Will do.
Really appreciate it.
Allie Freeman, Cadet Freeman, I told her in the beginning last spring, dream big. Don't let cost or any other possible barriers limit your thinking on this piece of land when you come up with the plan. And that's what she did. So I told her, we may have to scale this down. But I said, let them tell you to scale it down. Don't limit your mind. So perhaps if we need to scratch the idea of a parking lot and move the memorial somewhere else, or scale down the memorial somehow, or not put the memorial there at all, and just do basic maintenance, perhaps that's the way forward, with trees, with ground cover, with picnic tables, with basic stuff, and scratch the grandiose part. She's not here tonight, so it's probably good that she's not hearing us. But but in my mind, I always knew that was a possibility, that this might be too much for the community, and we may have to stick with simple stuff. So, get with BLM, that's a great first step, and then city manager after that, and we'll...
Thank you, Commander, but I would ask the council for a consensus that we're not going to provide the $200.
May I?
Yes.
I'm hoping, because I will stay in favor of, even if it's, you know, basic park, I would love to support it. So I hope as you research this or get it going that you don't forget to come back, you know, and feel that we're too hard to approach. I would love to support it, but get the basics down if you can so we know that you're in charge of what's there and that the chamber owns it. And come back in a month or whatever it takes. What I'm saying.
Yeah. Got it. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Commander.
Thank you.
Commander.
Moving along. Annual dues for the Deschutes Water Alliance. I'm sorry. Funding request for water and sewer assistance, Central Oregon Veterans Outreach.
Hi, I'm Cammy Smith Davis, and I'm the co-branch manager of the LoCovo office here in La Pine, which is Central Oregon Veterans Outreach, for those of you that don't know. I'm here asking, I sent in a request for water and sewage assistance for our office. We have a nonprofit organization. We had one last year. Jerry Chin was the branch manager at that time and came to the city and got a grant for $700 for sewer and water. I have a few things about what we are as COVO. I can pass those out, and a paper of the people that we've, the services that we provide. We're here to help veterans that are homeless, give them a hand up for helping them, to assist them, get their needs so that they can provide for themselves. And we have clothing, food in our office here. Gordy gives us the office space, so we're looking for funding, and I apply for grants and things trying to keep it, because we're a nonprofit organization. So I'll pass these out, and you can look at our what we are. If you want to pass those around. And just this year, like I said, I'm asked mostly just for you to reissue the same grant that we were given last year for funding, for $700. This is a paper that will tell you how many of our what we've provided for services just this year and how many we've helped, what we've given out for tents, sleeping bags, food supplies, provided what we call outreach, veterans who need to have claims filed, and provide for, we also provide help for some of our elderly veterans that we have, and we have a lot of veterans here in this community. Our elder, we have our, mostly ran the office by the Band of Brothers. Most of the our volunteers who man the office are from the Band of Brothers. So we pretty much have had about 145 people come through that we've done what we call outreach for. We have 140 that have come in, and we've discussed other things with them as far as their needs. And so we're here to help veterans in need. And so I'm here asking you for the grant money to help pay for water and sewer for our office to be ran for the next year. And you know, we're just trying to do what we can do for help the veterans in our community. So, anybody have a question or?
Greg?
What did we do last year?
700.
What are we doing in parking lot?
We're giving
them.
Mm-hmm. We're giving them a couple thousand.
And wasn't there something different rather than just outright?
Well, there's some. There's a mixture of things.
There was. They were going to do.
Well,
it wasn't a payment outright.
Right. It wasn't.
We're paying the water bill for them. Water and sewer.
We're not giving them water. We're paying the water bill.
So it comes out of our donation. When we have X amount of money. We have, you know, some things can go under transient room tax. Obviously, this cannot go under transient room tax. So we have $5,000 that's in the tourism. Would you want to give me my budget? Man, because I can't get through here by Gray, but.
Yes, you have it.
I'm all over it.
I can do it. No problem.
And we have $5,000 in the tourism budet that is not, doesn't have any restrictions. And we've used some of that. Then we have $5,000 for business, kind of business improvement type stuff. You know, most of these checks we haven't written yet. Like, we haven't done it for the parks yet, but we're kind of committed. You have the rodeo and those things come up later in the year. The car show, trunk or treat will be in here in the next week. And so it just, you know, if you got X amount of money, and you wanted 200 tonight to go to that. So I mean, it's just you have to decide where you go on these kinds of things. I mean, it's not an, it is an X amount, and at some point you will be saying no to people. So.
Okay. Well, is this a one-time thing, or is this a monthly thing?
Well, it was once for the year.
It's a one-time for the year to pay for. It's to pay for water and sewage for our office. Gordy gives us rent-free to have an office, but there's still he's billed for water and sewage, and that's my understanding. I don't know how it's figured out, but it's calculated out that that's how much. For the space that I'm in, it would be, I believe one of them is 25 a month, the other's 27. There's a minimum that's charged out for each unit, no matter what the true usage is, but there's a minimum. And so that's what he charges us, basically, that we have to pay to Gordy, because that's what they charge him. So that's what I'm asking for. Requesting is to have the funding assistance for that, and it works out to be roughly $700 a year for water and sewage. I think it's a few dollars less than that, but that's what the calculations were given to me about what the cost was.
Let me provide some input here that maybe you can think about. We've had a discussion here earlier before council started about. You know, we want people to come to a budget presentation and bring their ideas. We know that we told the same thing to Rodeo. And at the budgeting time, so that the budget committee can recommend to the council what goes into the budget in this vein. Them, just like Rodeo, not knowing that that's what they needed to do, they're back asking for assistance this year with a full understanding that any future money would have to come, they'd have to come before the budget committee to ask for that be put in the budget. So if that helps you understand that this is basically a one time for this year to get them to next year.
And then I will apply, I will come to the, like Ken let me know that, come to the budget and put it in the budget to see if maybe we could get it for continual years as long as we need the assistance.
Greg, any comments?
I was just going to ask Rick if that was in the budget.
Well, no, obviously. We didn't do it. We just haven't.
I didn't remember seeing it. In
it's not. We didn't line item, you know, any of these requests. So it's there's a lot of competition for all these things. I mean, I think as a policy, you can decide in the future at this time at some point, kind of, you know, if these are ongoing. And think, Karen, you asked, is this, you know, perpetual? Is it ongoing? And what happens is when you give it once, people will come back every year. I mean, it's perpetual. And so that's one of the things. And I think a lot of cities that will help you get started. Kind of what we did with the parks, and we told them we'd do it for 3 years. You wouldn't go to five, and that's why when I set up that agreement, I said let's lay it out because they will come back every year. It will be perpetual, so we spelled it out. You know, I think when they came, it was, you know, they were just getting started. You know, and they wanted help with that. So you know, you could treat it as perpetual. You're just going to give it every year. You could say, you know, we're trying to, we want to help you for a while, and maybe you could give them $500 of the $700 or something, you know, to kind of send that signal that it's not just you come in every year and you get the same amount, because then everyone that's funded now will always be funded, and when the new ones come along, you won't be able to. We gave money to the Butterballs, to the
Splash.
The Splash. That wasn't last year. That was a one-time deal. But that means we spent money this year that we didn't spend last year. So if you give everyone the money you gave last year and you add on new ones, then you're the federal government.
And look where they're at.
So, I mean, So that's kind of the thing, but that's up to you. You're the elected officials. You know, you will have to tell people no down the road. And it may be something you don't want to.
Let me get to Stu.
Could I ask what the rent would be at that, where your location is? Do you know?
I think Ken might be able to have, I was 11? 850. Somewhere between 850 and 1,000 is what I was told originally. That's what the rent would be.
And that's one office space?
Space.
Okay. I wonder what a comparable space is that he normally charges. You know, like the same, if he's donating yours, that same office space, he would normally charge $1,500 a month.
No, she was saying it's to $800 to
$1,000. Is what he would rent it out for. Oh, he does not charge us any rent at this time.
But you don't know if that includes water and...
No, he expects the water and sewer to be paid.
Separately.
Yeah. Separately.
Yes, yeah, because usage is different. I'm only going by... what are, because we don't have a lot of activity. You know, it's like, not like we're a resale store, so we're not using a lot of water or going through anything like that. Water and sewerage is very low for that particular unit. So we're at a minimal. We have, he's charged X amount whether there's anybody in there or not.
Right.
So, and that's what he's asking for us to pay because he's charged that amount of money.
Right. Okay, gotcha. That's all I have.
Okay. Kathy, do you have something?
Not regarding this specifically, but this area when we get to the budget. So
okay.
The donation sponsorship.
Let me just say that we have a couple choices here. I mean, evidently we have done this in the past. We did this last year, and Rick is absolutely correct in the fact that one of these days we're going to run out of money, and then we won't have to decide whether we say yes or no. So do we have a plan that we will approve these until we run out of money, or we're going to hodgepodge, skip along until we run out of money that way? So I think it's a great organization. They do great work. We have a serious need of an office like this in Levine. I would be in favor of the council approving some number. I think that's a fair presentation, at this point. Because I'll tell you this much, we don't have that much money left. So.
Got a lot of your left.
Karen, you had
with that question. Being said, and I've researched this a bit, and with the fact that when we pay something year after year, we have to say to the people, we gave you $700 last year, we have to start going down, even though it's a great cause. They do a lot of good work. I still don't think that we should give the same amount year after year.
Greg?
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing, but as the city grows, so do the demands for our money for these different donations. And, if we don't get it in ahead of the budget being set, then our hands are tied. We've already committed so much other of money.
They must have been open 2 years, correct?
No, we've only been open the reason that was in, we opened in March of 2000, well, April of 2012. So a year and a half, but because the branch manager, Jerry Chin, was in first and then I took over, I didn't know where the timelines were for when the grants money was given to us April of 2012.
Okay. Conrad?
I have no comment.
No comment?
No comment.
Smart.
Okay. I think we're at a point where we're running out of time, but I think I'd like to ask the council to make a motion. I'd entertain a motion to give them some number.
I make a motion that we give them $500.
Motion has been made to provide them $500 for sewer and water assistance. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
And motion made and seconded to give them $500. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
And the mayor votes aye.
I don't understand what just happened. Did you vote yes or no?
Yeah, they voted no and I voted yes.
Okay.
Well,
let's do a roll call vote since we had it split and the mayor broke the tie because the voices don't come in. So I would go ahead and maybe have a call for a roll call.
Roll call vote. Karen?
Kenny Egan, aye.
Aye.
Karen?
Okay. Karen Ward.
Opposed?
Greg Jones opposed. Stu Martinez opposed.
We have a tie. And the mayor votes yes to give the money to pass it.
$500.
$500.
Okay, we'll give you $500. And we don't worry about monthly or anything, so we're going to give you the $500 and you pay the water and sewer bill.
Okay. Thank you very much.
We'll give it to Gordy, however that works.
Thank you.
However that goes.
Thank you.
Item number 13 is annual dues for the Deschutes water lines.
On that document, you will see a statement in here from the Deschutes Water Alliance. From Alan Unger. Deschutes County Commissioner. Deschutes Water Alliance is a group, you know, we don't participate all that much. There are so many groups out there, it's kind of unbelievable. But they want to raise $25,000. You can see in the cover letter, they're asking for $2,000 from each jurisdiction that would come out of your water fund. That's where the cities would pay for it. My only comment on it, and I told Alan I would say this, that it's $2,000 per entity, so City of Bend with 80,000 people will be paying $2,000. City of Redmond with 30,000 will be paying $2,000. And they would like to find with 1,600 people to pay $2,000.
Of course.
And so, you'll notice on there it says it's requested. Somewhere on there I think it says it's a voluntary payment. And I was thinking, you know, we have a water department, and we do have water, and we have pumps, and we have wells, and they go out and advocate on the behalf of, we're going to have to increase our water rights. So it's a legitimate organization, but everything's got to be somewhat proportional. If you did it proportionally, we wouldn't give them $20, but if you, Conrad, get his cell phone out and do the math, 2,000 divided by 80,000 people, and what, 60, could do by our population, and it would be... you know, we should do that just for the fun of it.
Take
$2,000 divided by 80,000.
It's
$40.
Times 1,600 equals $40. You're smooth. $40.
So,
calculator hand.
That's probably. You know, I mean, if we wanted to give $250, $500 or something as a contribution from our water fund to. Again, these are, you know, it's another group that was formed, and you know, these groups are formed. There's a Deschutes River Conservancy, and 3/4 of the people on this board are on that board, I'm on that board, and this one was created. And when it was created, I said, my God, what are we doing creating another group? But of course, I lost that debate. Just like, it's uncomfortable. You heard all this tonight. It's not fun to be where I am at all. But, you know, this is why government grows. It's why it grows at the state level, the federal level, county level, and the local level. And we all sit back and wonder, how did it get so big? But it's there. It got formed. Now they want money. So you got to kind of keep yourself at the table a little bit. So some amount of money we should contribute. And, you know.
I just offer this for the council to consider as you think about things is I think it's important that we belong to the water alliance. We, just like the city manager says, we have issues with our with the water rights that we have. We need to move. We need to do something about that. We talked about this for a long time, spending lots of money to buy new water rights. But I think we need to be at this table, at the DWA table. And I think we should figure out an amount of money that we could say would be fair. I'll tell you this right now, the Central Oregon Cities Organization pro rata is 50 cents per head. That makes obviously $40,000 for the city of Bend, and it makes $827, something like that, for the city of Lapine. And that's our dues to COCO. I think we ought to pick a number per head and just stick with it. I'll tell you that 25 cents a head is $413.25.
So if we rounded it off at $500, that would be sort of there.
I think we ought to stick to per head. I mean, that way that get the message to them.
The population increases a little.
Yeah, we get the message to this organization that, you know, we're willing to do it by head count.
Okay.
And I think that's how it ought to be done. I mean, to be fair to everybody, you know, by some number. But I just say 25 cents and come up with that number. And,
how much was it?
How much did it come out?
You know, in the comments.
413. I didn't look. 425. At 25 cents.
In the comments about their budgeting, they listed the $25,000, they're getting the $6,000 donated from Avion. So at that point, every 21 remaining members, it would be $1,200 a piece if they just to meet the $25,000. Their goal is to reach $31,000. So, and they recognize that cities like Lapine aren't going to be able to pay $2,000 probably.
Well, Palmer would totally assure.
Yeah, all the smaller cities are that's going to be asking an awful lot of them. So, you know, the city of Bend should step up and say, you know what?
They have all the water they have. Yeah. Now they drain their pond.
Yeah. Ain't much after that.
Conrad, your thoughts on that?
It seems like that's a good amount because it's, like you said, it's sending to them a message that we'll do it, and you know, I agree that it's not fair to expect the same amount of money from Bend as it is from Lapine. And so if we give them a number per head, I think that's the biggest thing we have to decide upon, is what the number is, because I think that idea that per head is completely reasonable, but I think the thing that we must decide upon is what the number is.
Between 80 and 30,000, how do
they, yeah. So my comments were really just to bring at that point and let you think of it that way. We need to be there.
Just need a motion on the amount.
Okay. Is there a motion?
I move that we approve the amount of 25 cents per head.
Which is, we had 1,600 people, wasn't it?
That is $413.25.
25 cents a head times 1,600, we'll round.
Well, we're 1,653 according to the 2010 census.
I'll do it by 1,653.
Yeah,
make the thing that Rick has to sign that we send
it
to Stellar
and
check.
Yeah.
There's a motion to
second.
A lot 25 cents. Second. Per head.
I second it.
It's seconded there. Any discussions? All those in favor? Aye. It's unanimous to provide 25 cents per head as a message. Okay. We are at, are there any, there are no other matters that we brought. So we're at public comment. Tom? It's public comment.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's not here.
I didn't come in prepared to do this. It kind of happened. I'm working on a project at the Eagle Pine Senior Center, which we did last year, the dinner, dance, dessert auction. And I had part of it, I had my band hired. And another piece of the puzzle came together tonight. And I now have what I would call auctioneer extraordinaire has signed on to be my auctioneer. And that would be your city councilor here. Stu Martinez has consented to be the auctioneer of my dessert auction on New Year's Eve. You look dumbfounded. Did you change your mind?
No.
Oh, okay. Anyway, the point is, just kind of people don't know, last year we sold out. We were sold out about a week before. We printed up 60 tickets, we sold those. I went down and printed 20 more tickets, and we sold those. We sold out 80 tickets. We were sold, I think, 5 days before the event. So that anybody who's thinking about coming to the New Year's Eve bash down to this year, you better buy your tickets early.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you for allowing me to.
And it's over by 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Well, that's because our clientele. I told them that anybody after that, they'll go to the Legion after.
Yeah,
they
go to the Legion, and you can go to the kiosk.
Thank you, Tom.
Well, thank you very much for
that. Mr. Mayor. Douglas Board, 52657 Pine Drive in the city limits. I think you had a very good idea about people coming to the council wanting money, that instead of doing it this way, they go to the budget committee and ask for it to be included in the budget, and then that will be your expenditures for the year. In addition, of course, you always have that little slush fund from the room tax.
Right.
When I was in business, one of my jobs was to balance expenditures to sales, and you need to do the same thing to balance budget to revenue. And I'm a little concerned that you keep giving money away, money that you hadn't counted on giving away to begin with. So maybe if you put it in the budget first, and then said, well, you didn't come to ask for it, so you can wait till next year, would probably be a pretty good idea.
I agree. You know, that's the idea, but we are growing. I mean, we are, I think the people are getting the message out there that you need to come to the budget committee. It gets vetted there, and then the council has an easy job. However, we do have X amount of money. Mm-hmm. That's always going to be in the budget to give away.
It's never going to be enough.
You can't plan everything, you know. So
it's never going to be enough.
Your comments are well taken.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any further public comment? Hearing none, we'll move on to staff comments.
I won't say anything other than one thing since we're so late. But I'll email you anything I want to tell you. I did represent him at COIC. The other night, yes. Since we're having a great night on money issues, you know, it's interesting when you look at what we've spent our time on tonight. CYC will probably be putting out a debit side yet, but a tax again. You know, and I had a comment. I considered it a compliment. I had a comment from a councilman from somewhere else. I was talking to somebody, and they said, "Hey, I heard the good comment that came via you at that." I said, "Well, it's the only meeting I've been to with." The issue was they plan on levying a property tax.
How do they do that? They're
well, how they do it is, there's number one, and the reason, and again, everyone sits there, No one wants a say in it. You've got the staff that's all making the income. You know, they're all working in it. It's part of the bureaucracy at COIC. And again, it's a need. That's the problem, is when you say anything, then people think, well, you don't care about the need. And so that's why this stuff always gets a pass. And so they all but said there will be a property tax, and that's your understanding. That's where they're going to head.
Yeah.
So the problem is in that what the issue is, there would be a three-county, Crook, Jefferson, and Deschutes. Everyone would vote on it. But CYC, the way they're formed, can't levy a property tax. And under the way they're formed, the state law doesn't let them. So they're going to have a bill. They're going to get Gene Wisnett and some of these other folks to introduce a bill to the February session. But those have to be done, like, in December in order to have them go through that session. So they're telling, I'm sitting there listening, they're telling about this bill they want to have. Now, they haven't said how much property tax is going to be. They haven't said how the system works with it. But then they said we're going to go maybe get a legislative bill. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh my God, so now we're all sitting here like bumps on the log. We're just going to approve or support this. The staff's not getting any direction. Silence is agreement. Mm-hmm. And I said, raised my hand and said, I have lots of questions. So it passes in the city of Bend with 80,000 voters. It's defeated in Prineville, Madras, Lapine, Sisters, Terrebonne, everywhere else it's defeated. But it's approved in the city of Bend because they have a door-to-door system. They have a fixed route system, bus stops. Do we all get taxed because they outvoted us? Or does each jurisdiction have to approve it, a majority? Big difference. And how is this? They couldn't answer that. And I said, I hope you're not naively going down some path that you're going to go out and kind of put a property tax out to all the voters in Central Oregon and or to the legislature in the next few months. And then they come around and want us to endorse. So they're going to come here. They're going to ask us to support the bill, probably, is where this will head. And again, then they'll bring in folks who ride the bus. You know, I can just see where it's headed. But anyway, I took Ken's place.
I can tell you, I knew that was going to be, although I did have a conflict that I wanted to get out of, for my reason. And I knew that this was going to be a discussion at the CYC meeting, and I could think of no better person.
Yeah.
To go than Stu, Rick, plus the fact that he was on his way home Thursday night. They're always on the third Thursday, I think.
Yeah. But if
you're changing night and going home.
Yeah, no, it's it. But they're going to come make a presentation in November, and that's where we'll kind of know where it washes. That's my CYC.
But he really hit the nail on the head when he said that. They've got a group of people sitting around there getting paid to put these plans together, and there's two or three of them that really think that we ought to have door-to-door bus service throughout these three counties, and you can never nail them down on ridership, but what I've gotten out of them, we have three or four riders a week in Lapine. Three or four riders a week in Lapine, and they're wanting a lot of money out of us to support that. Most of the riders around here come from the greater county area surrounding us outside UGB. So thank you, Rick, for going.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Quick.
Okay, I'll make it quick. I know there's counterparts to COIC in the state.
Yes.
I don't know what they're called.
Yeah. Council of Governments.
Okay. Do any of the others have a taxing authority? Or is this some new thing?
I don't know that.
I don't know that.
TriMet does.
That's almost like a special district. TriMet.
Yeah, that kind of could be what they're asking for, is a kind of a tri-county type of special district taxing. They all have to create another entity, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So it'll be kind of a metro.
They're going to be coming down here to make a presentation?
Yes.
Have any idea when?
No.
We'll be able to find out.
We'll contact Kay.
Okay, council comments.
I do.
Kathy.
I have three quick things. I went to the Cascade Community-Based Network, and the project they want to tackle most currently is getting the network sources so that there's a register, so that people get one, for instance, one box of food a week. Well, as it is, some people are getting five or six, and they just travel around and get them. So I think they're going to call it, where is she?
Behind you.
Newberry Country Community Giving, is that what?
I think it is.
Okay. So that they want to somehow get the churches, everybody involved, so you know what's going on. So as they were saying, we have second and third generations just living off of what we give them without working and building a community, etc. My second is, can't we, regarding the ROTC, can we just ask Jeremy if we did help with the benches, would that create a liability for us? Is that...
Well, I can answer that. I mean, Jeremy, if we're just like when we give $200 to...
That's a rodeo.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're not assuming any... Uh-huh. I think the only difference here is... Do you want to get them down a path that maybe isn't going to get us there? Secondly, pardon me, but the mayor has been fairly involved. And at the school board meeting last night, which I was at, the project was presented to the school board in a room of 30 or 40 people, and KTVZ was there and everyone else, and he did a PowerPoint. In the PowerPoint, it's Ken Mullinex, mayor, and he articulated comments. So, you know, that muddles it a bit. So we'd have to make sure, almost with a cover letter, that we're giving you $200. This is no, by doing that, we are not sponsoring that kind of like a disclaimer.
Right. Yeah.
But yes. So in and of itself, when we donate to the groups,
that's not a
we're not liable.
That's what I couldn't see when I hear voices saying we'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
So, the other one is, I think I asked for it before, but I don't know how I asked, and I don't know how to verbalize it now, is this: I would really like to be able to say, where are we with our donation amounts? Can we look forward to who we know are coming?
We can try. Ashley and I can rough up knowing we can kind of put the ones we know. We can go over the last couple of years if we've given to.
We
and look over the amounts. And then see where we are.
Books, all of that stuff. I'd like to
That'd
see
be nice to know.
What we have.
Yep.
Yeah, because otherwise, when you have to get paid them out, it's hard to...
Yeah.
When I go to the fund, I only have $500 out of it, but we know... Mm-hmm. It's becoming more than that.
Right. I don't feel comfortable giving money away when I don't know how much
we'll try. That's a good idea.
Well, I'll build something. We'll keep a tally as it goes.
Yeah.
And I'll just put it in your packet every month. That way you know if we're going to have a donation request at a time. We'll build something to work on
that.
Because I understand where you're coming from.
Because I still am not totally sure, because I got in the last contract with Ann Chamber, that she was going to use some of those donations for Frontier Days and the rodeo. So now it sounds to me like it might be coming back here. So that's...
I think they've been doubled. Did they get some from them and some from us historically? Isn't that right?
But the rodeo never did.
Yeah.
The rodeo's asking for funding, though.
What?
Rodeo's asking us for funding.
Well, they haven't gotten any. From
have we
last week, last year was the first time they were going to go to Ann to ask, because she would get
the city.
So
good questions. We'll make a list, because that would help us.
Yeah.
Stu, anything?
Just attended the league conference, but I'll talk to you individually about how well it went. You know. keep mine short and sweet. So that's all.
Conrad, anything?
Nothing. I'll keep it short.
Okay.
I would like to make a suggestion that down the road sometime we put out some kind of a survey in the cable trap to, and maybe Glenwood, is that them?
Acres.
And see whether or not the target for water and sewer has a positive or a negative.
If you would allow, I would think that's really probably a long, something way down the road. I mean, I just think to go ask that in a vacuum. In other words, when you ask them a question, they kind of have to know what's the number associated with a yes or a no. And really, we don't have time to guesstimate. We haven't yet got the ordinances correct on our sewer water we absorbed, let alone a whole new area. So I think that's a good idea at some point, but literally, we are nowhere near. So if regardless of what they answer, we're not really for a year or so, there's no one going to be spending any time looking at that. We have to get our current ordinances fixed. I just finished up the RFP today, sent it to Jeremy about 5 o'clock on the big study we're going to do. That's going to be a several month process. And so I think, and then we're going to get into SDCs on that because all of that plays a role. So I think that it would probably be best to kind of wait. And like I say, I did also tell Jeremy I wanted to work on the ordinances because, we had a citizen that had to resolve that one that was last week. We had to spend some legal money on, we're going to cut them off when they have a child. And these kinds of issues. Today, get a complaint. I've been over there twice, so I go over. And since I was there last time, took pictures, now I'm back. Well, of course, the camp trailer's been moved in behind the house. It has a electricity buried to it for the extension cord. It has a pipe coming out the gray water of the camper into the, I mean, it's very nice and tight. It goes right into the ground like it was going off to a septic system. And then, of course, the solids, if we would like to call it, coming out of the camp trailer. It has a very nice green 5-gallon pickle bucket. And that has been dug into the ground. And so then you raise the issue of, I come immediately back here, not happy, because I have no patience for this kind of stuff. I just don't, as I say sometimes, you people deserve better than this. This stuff just is not allowed to go on, and it shouldn't be.
No.
And so I came back and said, Ashley, how much does this, and I won't give address here, so her names, but what does this, I just assumed that they owe back bills. So she's digging out the tax statements for me on Dial. Well, sure enough, there's back taxes. But then she digs out and emails me the account, and they owe $750 bucks. We just collected $200 on a lien. Well, we've already shut the water off because I immediately said, Ashley,
why aren't you shut off?
This has to stop. Why have we not shut this water off? So we don't have to worry about sending it to the camp trailer behind. Well, the water is shut off. But because you allow wells, they can take a garden hose out of their well, stick it in the camp trailers and to the house, or it is, I don't remember now if it's a mobile home.
It is.
Yeah, it's a mobile home. So see, you can almost jury rig it to where they're getting their water through the well. But the waste is going down our sewer because you can't cut off a sewer. So the water bill isn't growing, but the sewer bill is. We don't have any method to shut them off because their water is coming from the well. So I said, look, we're blocking that sewer. And I don't care if I get a backhoe out there, I'm going to block that sewer. And that you can do.
Yeah.
So then she said she wasn't sure. So then I had to call Jeremy and say, Jeremy, so he's got his junior attorney looking into our ordinances that we inherited from the districts. But I plan on being fairly aggressive that if, and I hope you guys agree, that if, like Jeremy agrees too, if we, once we clear this, I think we'll figure out what we need to do. We will go put a block on that sewer so they can put water in through their well, but they're going to have a problem because it won't be going anywhere.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's an example. Really, we need to spend our time and our money on taking care of our current system and not worry about a whole new system.
Well, I think I'd like to just pull this out to the point that, granted, it's premature. It's a great idea, though. We need to, at some point in time. But there's no doubt that before we do a lot, as I now listen, we need to get our house in order, and this RFP that will bring forth a company that squares everything away, that we know what we've got in the way of sewer and water, then we ought to be able to proceed with...
Long-term, we want to do it.
What do you think long-term is?
Well, actually, you're talking. I mean, I would say you wouldn't do anything, even start the discussion for a couple of years, and then to get it funded, you know, they wouldn't be on sewer and water for 5 years. I mean, really, maybe. So, but I think in order to, you know, when you ask a survey, and, you know, you got to do it right to get good results. So you want to have a town hall, you kind of want to educate people, but to just throw something out and say, do you support going to the city water system or the sewer system? And, you know, you're going to get yeses and nos, but it doesn't really tell you anything. Because you have to tell them, if, okay, do you like it, yes or no? Then are you okay with it if you knew you had to pay, if it's $2,500 to hook up? Oh, well, then that becomes a no.
Right.
See, and you kind of got to know those numbers to ask the questions. But I think we do.
Rick City, wherever.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other?
I've got a couple of things.
Real quick. I would like to ask the city, Public Works, or whoever, to look into putting a sign around Huntington and Burgess about jake breaking. Now, everybody knows we've got 10,000 lumber trucks coming through there, log trucks coming through there.
That's right.
Not discounting, we've got gravel trucks, we've got all kinds of big trucks coming through there, and they jake break around there. Now, do I live 100 yards from that corner? Yes, I do. But we've also got a lot of other citizens around there that have to put up. And believe me, the log trucks are the ones right now that you notice about every 45 minutes. So, yeah.
Then can we put one right here?
There is one.
Why not?
And who enforces it?
Nobody.
Nobody.
And they jake break all night long.
Well,
trust me.
You know, I think we.
You can add it to the list.
I think we put up a sign and see what happens.
Well, it's a county road. So we have bus house and email to George Cole.
Okay.
We can't say well, Pine Camp.
Right. No, the Summit Vitality meeting is coming along on the 8th of November.
What?
There's a Newberry Country.
Economic
Summit on the 8th from 8 a.m. to 3, I believe.
It's
the
Friday.
9 to 4.
It's, yeah. No.
9 to 4.
Okay. 9 to 4. I recommend all the counselors go to it.
I mean, I'm signed up.
So, okay. You need to sign up. And I'm going to write your names down, the ones that don't show.
Good.
S-T-U-A-R-T. It's all kinds of groups.
The other thing is, there's an LLC class in Redmond on ethics, and I'm not sure it's on. It is on November. It's on a Friday, and it's November the 8th.
Same day.
Same day. Just if you haven't been to an ethics class, you ought to go. And I would like to have the council consensus to name a two-person committee to deal with putting art and all kind of stuff and doing a layout for the walls in the city hall and what will go where. I mean, we got pictures, we got counselors, some kind of identification of counselors and all of that, and we have walls around here. Where art can be put. I've had a number of people approach me about putting some kind of statues in here, et cetera, et cetera. So I'd like to hear consensus to maybe, I mean, I know Karen's not on anything. I know we've got two on a committee for a logo, so Greg's got a committee, two assignments, so I'd like to...
So you want me to sit on a committee, or you want me to hang?
No, I want you to sit on a committee with myself.
I can sit on a committee.
Okay.
I can even hang pictures.
I think we'll leave that to staff. Can we have council consensus?
Something with me.
Sounds good.
With to report back to the council to where everything is going
to bring a plan back. Yeah, to bring a plan back. You'll do it in short.
That means I can't hang anything without your permission. Oh, I'm in trouble now.
Well, this is like the logo. We don't have to worry yet.
Is that on the next agenda?
Yes.
Okay, so we have council.
Remember,
consensus.
We're going to meet, we'll have a work session, and we'll just have a couple weeks, but then the following week is our Urbank appeal. So we'll be here the following Wednesday, and very possible the following Wednesday, because in an appeal, they ask, the applicant solely can just say, I want it, and you have to do it. So it would be continued. So you theoretically could be here that the work session, their bank number one appeal, their bank follow-up appeal, and then you're your regular first meeting.
There's
that'd be four in a row.
And that's the 30th.
So
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move.
Second.
Aye.
So you better put the pictures up because we're going to be living here.
Yeah.
I'll get this in and I got to go. Yeah.
Homework.
Check your email. Okay. Because there is a meeting with the county, the city, and the school district. I'm wondering.
Okay, I'll check. I'm heading home.
Go home.
Thank you, everyone.
Careful. Always.
Okay.
Thank you, man.
I'll go this way. Maybe.